to just do a line of coke, and I did that off screen.
Art, I did a line of creatine. Alive now, I believe. Let me go over to Twitter and yep, says we're live on Twitter, and let me check the Zamp.stream. Says offline. Haven't been able to figure that one out. All right, well, I'll have to take another whack at Zamp.stream next time. But yeah, hey, this Richard Greaser tuning in from very interesting undisclosed location. I would call it Ground Zero for the intellectual Silk Road. I'm not going to say where I am, but I'm in a big giant room. Been struggling with some technical difficulties. Kaylee Welch is not with me to help fix my setup, but yeah, joining us is Jeremy for 21 Media. You can probably hear the road noise in the background. We got Jeremy from 21 Media, who is putting on the event in Vegas. And we've got Rob Hamilton, and I told him he's not allowed to talk about Miniscript or Anchor Watch. And then we've got Evan Kaloupis, who's this Greek guy. He works on the Lightning Network. He hasn't figured out yet that the best way to scale Bitcoin is with paper Bitcoin. So he's still doing the Lightning stuff.
That's not entirely true.
Dude, you don't.
Zeus just added paper Bitcoin support.
I got tired of you guys bullying me. So I'm like, okay, let's do it.
I was just going to say, I wanted to create a Lightning app, which is just a front end. It was just, it's not connected to the internet, and it just simulates a transaction failing. And that's all it does. And nobody would know the difference between that and another and a regular Lightning wallet. And I think you could really launch a successful podcast off of that fake business. And how do you stop that from happening? How do you prove to people that Lightning does work sometimes?
You could market that as the most custodial Lightning wallet. It fails 100% of the time.
I like it. The truest custodial Lightning wallet.
Well, you
made
need
by the
graphics,
Bugle.
Though. Are you guys gonna? You guys have an animation guy?
We can get one. We can. Everything's possible. We, as long as we don't have to actually connect it to the internet and make it work, we can upgrade the user interface in the UX constantly. We can add new releases all the time. It'll just always get better.
Have you?
That is my favorite. It's my favorite part about Zeus Wallet is when I have a Lightning transaction fail the route, there's some pretty damn cool graphics going on.
I think you should market it as a privacy feature that every time you try to record yourself using Zeus Wallet, it fails so that nobody could ever, you know, the privacy is perfect. It's a privacy feature. It knows it's being watched.
I think we could whip that up. That's like a good hack project.
Yeah.
But I was gonna bring it back. You know, offline is cool, but have you guys thought of potentially having your own Bitcoin network? Like BugleNet, maybe?
Yeah, actually, we've discussed doing... I was talking about that with some folks today at the Bitcoin little hangout spot that I'm at, off-grid hangout spot, but... We're talking about doing an intellectual Silk Road eCash mint, which I guess would be a little bit different. But
can we make that the default in Zeus, you know, since we're adding paper Bitcoin? Would you guys be okay with that?
I mean, that'd be fine. I mean, the graphics are probably cooler than whatever Tally's making.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that goes definitely. For what I'm
saying. I'm sure the opcodes.
Rob.
You gotta have some pretty good.
Rob added us
for your own Bugle.
Rob added me to a Fedimint a few months ago, and we got rugged. So Rob rugged us.
Not insured.
I mean, you guys probably deserved it though, right?
It was in the Fedi app with the group chat, so it was a shit posting chat, and then we realized we were just zapping each other fake Bitcoin because of the mint shutdown.
That was pretty cool. Well, let's talk about what we're doing.
No, it was the Madeira one, whatever, that one was using for a while and got shut down.
All right, guys. You know, I'm losing some steam.
Let's talk about what we're doing here. What are we doing here, guys?
I think Evan's doing something special right now.
So, oh, shit. Some creatine. You want to put some in my tea, please? Thank you. Oh, wow, he's cracking the seal.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
He's small and hydrated.
Evan looks like he doesn't... Of course... Of course, Evan has a seal on his creatine. He doesn't look like he actually takes creatine. He just brought it for the stream.
Oh, me? What do you think,
man? Yeah.
Come on, you don't see these games?
That's that whole bucket is one morning dose. Yeah, so that doesn't even count if you're loading.
One off the shelf, and I brought Rob and Jeremy one.
It's maybe the first time on a Bitcoin podcast doing live creatine.
Smells good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love grape creatine. Thank you for bringing that.
It's cherry ice, dude.
All right.
Well, I can only ever do the unflavored one.
I actually just donated a 5-pound tub of unflavored to Bitcoin Park. It was out in the kitchenette. Anyone in building 1912, where the other building is, there's a whole 5-pound tub there. You're welcome to go for it.
5 pounds?
Yeah. Unflavored.
Good.
Very
so
cool.
So you guys are putting something up on in Vegas, right?
Yeah, we're going to be doing an event. Jeremy, you want to introduce yourself? I think probably most of the people watching know everybody except for you.
Oh, really?
What's your deal?
Jeez. I mean, I don't know if it made it live or not, but I was talking about different habits that form when you work in the film media world, which is where I come from before Bitcoin, and where I was able to after doing 40 hours of podcasts every week for years, 2017, 2018, finally was able to make my way into working in Bitcoin with things like what Bitcoin did and some other places, ending up at Bitcoin Magazine, getting to know people like this. Along the way, when you start down the rabbit hole, you're just taking everything in, and then you start to kind of form your own ideas on stuff. And so we're at a point now where we are launching some shows. I'm here in Philly, and we got an incredible, I think below the radar scene here in Philly, that Rob's about to meet. We've got a Gino sandwich over here. We've got a cannoli from Termini Brothers. We went to an Irish bar in Fishtown that has the best Italian food in Philadelphia. And the people are the best part.
I got to say, I walked in here to the Bitcoin John, like the monthly Philadelphia Bitcoin meetup. It's in the middle of the Grand Palace, like Chinese restaurant. It's a 400 seat. Like old traditional Chinese food restaurant, and I was like, this is, and it has a whole stage and everything,
and the stage has the biggest screen you've ever seen in your life for some really serious after BitDev's karaoke.
I think it gives Bitcoin Park in Nashville a run for its money. You know, it's pretty big, maybe taller, maybe not as wide, but
I think it's bigger.
Think it's bigger.
I think it may be. Yeah, that's pretty good. It's a 400 seat restaurant. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, so we're ready to scale off during the bull run, during hyper-Bitcoinization, you know?
I saw some videos on X on the timeline recently, and it looked like people in Kensington, Philadelphia were injecting creatine into each other. How close are you guys to Kensington?
It's not really...
Hell yeah.
You know, they call fish...
That's an ungovernable misfits-like place.
We could walk. It's just that the whole rig doesn't seem equipped to do it. So maybe another day, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to take Rob around for a little joyride, but we didn't have time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good creatine out there.
Cherry ice,
man. Cherry ice. Yeah, he did. Oh, he's been mixing it.
We really? Okay.
I mean, no pressure. I'm not a peer pressure kind of guy.
Your energy has doubled.
I need you guys.
Oh, my God.
I need you guys to settle down for a minute. So, Let me do this for you. So Jeremy over here started a company called 21 Media
And it was really lame. Jack Mallers front ran him. So Jack Mallers got some insight. He's like, shit, we got to put the announcement out about our company before Jeremy does, or else they'll think that we're copying Jeremy. But I do know that Jeremy actually picked the name before Jack Mallers did for his company, because he's been talking about this with me for some time now. But Jeremy's putting on the event, the premier event in Las Vegas. You might have heard about the Bitcoin conference. That'll be happening too. But the event to be at is Satire of the System on Fremont Street on Wednesday night in Vegas. And all five of us on the stream are going to be there. Maggie Morris is going to be joining us. We're going to be having a good time. There's going to be things happening.
Where's that? We're going to be live announcing.
There's going to be a trapeze artist.
We're going to be live announcing non-standard sized wrestling. Midget wrestling from Micromania. It is going to be incredible.
And it's for a specific purpose. This is the history of Bitcoin is filled with emotional drama of loss and sacrifice and overcoming and we're going to see some non-standard-sized people play it out. So that
it's the history of being right. We are celebrating that we were right. We're dunking on all the people that doubted us, and it's going to be a celebration.
It's shown the small block sizes and all the downstream consequences of, you know, making sure that we keep that constrained.
You're right. It is actually a artistic support advocacy of small blocks. Where was I going with that? You know, one thing I'm wondering about, you mentioned how Jack Mallers somehow found out about the 21 and moved quickly. And we just found out through some credentialed reporting I saw on Twitter that it was Dennis Porter that is leaking the guests for our event. And now I'm wondering, I'm just putting two and two together. Does anybody know, does Dennis Porter have like a line to Jack Mallers? Because he might be at the center of all of this.
Well, when you're the CEO of two prominent Bitcoin companies, I think Dennis Porter is near the top of your, you know, your speed dial, right? That's where you use for your breaking news. That's where you kind of get all the alpha. And now publicly, one of those companies is publicly traded. If you want to get a man on the markets to kind of help push your narratives, you got to have Dennis on speed dial for sure.
Yeah. Well, we're going to forge ahead.
When Mallers is going on his Tinder dates, he needs a way to get hard too.
Then he needs to go where the creatine will be.
Jack, I got you, bro.
This is actually really, really good.
Yeah, cherry ice with the green tea.
It's really potent.
I think it's the first communal creatine on a Bitcoin podcast ever.
You know, we like to set standards.
Can we make it a Philly special?
So I think it's important to remember, guys, there's people watching this stream, and so they're kind of curious as to what we're talking about here. So we're doing this event in Vegas. It's going to be the most important event happening this year, in my opinion. It's going to be a groundbreaking event. It's going to be the launch of a new media company, 21 Media. Jeremy Pulley here. Evan Kaloupis is going to be there. So Evan, what are you doing? You're sponsoring. Like, how do you have money?
That's a good question.
Are you sponsoring? You're sponsoring the Samurai fundraiser. How do you have money to sponsor that?
Craps table.
He sold me on there's this e-mint thing that he started, and he's gonna send us that instead of money. And it sounds
it's called raising capital through equity, and we have a new venture that's we think is going to be pretty, you know, equitable. So
equitable
the plan
equity.
Is you open the doors, get everyone in, you funnel them in. They're making transactions, right? And unlike the regular Zeus wallet, these transactions are going to go through. The money in this Lightning node that's going to be hosting the mint. It's going to accumulate. It's going to go up and to the right. We build that hype. We get the good folks at the Bugle just singing our high praises. And then we rug. And that's when the investors are made full again, right? So I really can't afford any fuck-ups here, guys, because they're already breathing down my neck. You know, it's like a lot of money we asked for. You know, it's like, you know, it's not that it's expensive to run this thing. It's just we have a lot of
how stressful. How stressful is it when you go to your investors and they say, I want to watch this wallet send a Lightning transaction to my phone? And you got to pull out your custodial Lightning wallet and hope that this Lightning transaction works in front of the investors. Like, what? How do you prepare for that?
I thought we talked about this. Like, it doesn't go through.
Did we talk about this on air? Yeah.
It's we already coded that up. So I just told the intern.
So pretty much what I heard you say, Evan, is so the 1031's giving you money to sponsor the Samurai fundraiser. So anybody that's being critical of Matt O'Dell needs to chill. Shut up.
He's not grumpy.
Listen, we've got a lot of parties in on this thing. I'm not gonna confirm or deny any names that are involved. You know, there might be rumblings around that you have people like Jamie Dimon, another fellow Greek, or, you know, the Blackstone, BlackRock guys. But, you know, that's just speculation, okay?
Has Pledator had the opportunity to vet this investment? Hey, have you, Pledator the other day was talking about some pipe investment scams, and it was some of the worst he's seen involved the 21, the Jack Mallish company is. And if all the investors exit scams out there, Pledator has seen them all, literally all of them, everything, all the SEC files going back to 1934 when it was founded. He's read them all. How do you structure these deals so that they don't get outed by Pledator, because Pledator is on the case, and he's very critical of 1031.
What's this guy's name? Pleb Predator? What?
Pledator. Pledator is a predator to scammers.
Does he predate on plebs, or he protects the plebs from being predated on? Or he's a pleb who's a predator in other ways?
It's even worse.
He's a redditor.
It's even worse than that. He's a redditor.
He's a redditor.
It's even worse. Yeah, he's a redditor.
So does he reconcile?
He's the apex redditor.
How does he reconcile his Reddit gold maximalism with the Bitcoin thing? Or can you buy Reddit gold with Bitcoin now? I don't think you can. No,
I don't think so. They used to be able to, right?
That was they did.
They did.
Yeah, they pulled that though. Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
People's Lightning transactions didn't work, and they were losing. They're losing conversions. They're like, all right, we're just going back to using USDT. We're going back to taking Tether.
At least it wasn't our fault.
Evan, when are you adding USDT support?
Oh, well, I think there's a really clear pipeline now that Paper Bitcoin is going in the app. So
there you go.
It'll be great. You know, we'll be able to get, whoever the person of the day is, usually someone race baiting or, doing all sorts of stuff like that. They need a payday. They'll be able to fire up and copy a Zeus, get a seed, get a Zeus pay address.
And you can go to
get a USDT right to your wallet.
And you can go to Bitcoin John first Monday of every month at the Grand Palace restaurant, and you can actually go to Evan and he'll just give you the dollars. He's just a money transmitter for you.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought we said that the Bugle guys were running the mint.
So back to the event in Vegas. Satirize the system. I heard rumors. Can you confirm, Jeremy, will there be non-KYC video games? People want non-KYC video games.
We did find the darkest alley to host our event in, so that KYC was physically impossible. So I can guarantee here, right now, live on your podcast, non-KYC arcade games, non-KYC Super Nintendo games, non-KYC bowling, where you and custodial, where you wear your own shoes. You control.
Oh, this is huge.
That sounds like a liability start issue.
To finish. There's no passing one of the it things. Off to somebody else. Yeah, that's
one
what
of the things. One of the things in Vegas is if you go down to the strip where the conference is going to be, a lot of stuff's going to be down there. That is like the most surveilled, most KYC'd place maybe on Earth. But Fremont Street is not that. Fremont Street is a citadel for crazy, ungovernable misfits and loons. So it's the perfect spot.
Fremont Street, too, I'm pretty sure doesn't have a non-smoking section at the blackjack tables. Like, you are allowed to smoke at any table you want, whereas, like, those fancy spots on the strip,
huge.
They break it off like, oh, no, like, you can gamble here, but you can't smoke.
Segregation.
Yeah.
Segregation has finally come to the Vegas Strip, and it's ruined the Vegas Strip. So that was one of the few places where non-segregation had held out. But now it's an island. It's Fremont Street. Fremont Street is the only place.
You might have heard from Dr. Jack Cruz about how taking all the windows out at the casinos impacted the mitochondria mm-hmm. of gamblers, forcing them to become worse, unhealthy, and the casinos started doing a whole lot better. Well, at Fremont, by being able to smoke, the nicotine restores your mitochondria, and we're seeing some of the strongest gamblers come out of the Fremont.
That sounds great. Some might call it a cigarette citadel, if you will.
I think they do.
Wow, that's amazing.
Do the Fremont casinos, do they allow you to bring your own tallow to the table?
Not if you're playing craps, because they don't want you buttering up the dice. But everywhere else, that's fine.
Tallow dice. I would love to throw some tallow dice. Unfortunately, but that's going to not be possible. It sounds like.
You know, I think we might be able to make that happen. Let's get together after this and see what we might be able to do about some tallow dice games in the corner.
Yeah,
I'm not greasing the game of tallow and.
So I think we still have yet to make a coherent explanation for what the hell we're promoting. So there's going to be an event Wednesday night. It's going to be the most important event to be at. All five of us are going to be there. Maggie Morris is going to be there. I think Rob's going to bring the whole Anchor Watch team. They're all going to be banned from talking about insurance and miniscript. They're going to actually have to talk about something else. Jeremy, can you explain the structure of the event? What's going on here? So we got some panels, we got some people talking. What time does it start?
Starts at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Wednesday, the week of the conference. I don't know what day of the week that
Correct.
Is.
Correct. Wednesday.
Wednesday, like the number, 28.
Yeah. At 7 p.m.
28, yeah.
So there's two things kind of going on, I think.
Wait. Has the location been announced? I mean, like, damn, I'm sponsoring the thing. I don't even know where it is yet.
That's kind of on purpose. You don't want to. Anyway,
okay.
It's at a
KYC
place
free. KYC free.
Called the Nerd. It's we weren't joking.
That's
about
appropriate.
Non-KYC games. Yeah, exactly. The venue itself is full of arcade games, like skill games, skee ball, stuff like that. And because it's the Nerd, I wasn't joking. Super Nintendo games, N64 games. So there's two things I think really going for it, where we'll have an environment where anybody kind of gets to have some fun, gets to hang out with friends and play games. And just by being there, you'll be able to have some fun doing whatever you want to do. At the same time, you can also choose to enjoy the main events that we have going on in the main event room. And so we have it's in four sections. We've got to kick it off is the discussion panel. And actually, let me back out a little bit. The theme here, it's Satirize the System is the name of the event, because we're trying to refocus what's going on here. You know, maybe the ETFs, you know, come out. We go back to, was it January of last year that they rolled out? And maybe you were somebody in Wall Street. You didn't understand Bitcoin, and now the ETFs are here, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. And you buy yourself some ETF Bitcoin, and you actually want to maybe learn a little bit more about what's going on, instead of giving into the, you know, you go one of two ways. You either want to know what it is that you've bought, or you just want to watch the number go up. And we're kind of seeing that, that split actually happen in the entire community right now. And so we want to kind of like bring some attention to that. There's some choices being made and some efforts being done, where you can only choose one or the other. And so we're trying to refocus it on why it's freedom money to begin with, and what some of the choices are against it, and what some of the choices are to support it. And so we've got a discussion panel that we're kicking off with Rob Hamilton right here, and a couple other unnamed people as of yet. And then from there, that's the first segment. Then we go into a fireside conversation, to maybe get a little bit more intimate, two minds focusing together on something. Again, we will be announcing that a little bit later on. And then we move on to a trivia kind of game show, where you have a chance to get on stage, to play the game, and to win Evan's money, Zeus's money.
Let's do it. We're going to save Samurai Wallet with lightning. They're going to fucking hate it.
Yeah, so you'll, it'll be a fundraiser where you know, every dollar that you give gets you a raffle ticket, and that dollar will go to the peer-to-peer fund, which right now their main focus is the Samurai Wallet case. And yeah, you'll be able to go on stage, play some fun trivia, and win some lightning sats. And that's kind of the setup. So, you know, we set the stage there so that everybody kind of knows what's going on, knows what the point is. And then we get really into it with the history of Bitcoin unfolded on stage by the non-standard athletes of Las Vegas. And these guys are actually like completely legit. We really like fell backwards into some pure gold here. They go on tour. They're like the number one touring wrestling group. You've got to see some of the video. We put out a video 2 days ago that shows some of the action, gives a sample of it. These guys are completely legit. They are ready to don the titles and names of some of Bitcoin's most famous people, infamous people. And we're ready to see how things play out. And there's going to be metal chairs. There's going to be some backflips off the stage.
So when you say non-standard, can they fit in an ocean? They like, can they fit inside an ocean opera turn?
Some of them, yeah.
They can? Good.
Yeah, you can't filter them. These guys are fierce competitors who cannot be filtered.
There you go.
There's a limit. You can fit 80 of them.
Okay.
80 bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're looking to see if maybe we can fit a little more.
Okay.
Like 130, 140.
Oh.
But I don't know. There's some pushback.
A little bit.
Well, you got to push back. You got to push like a clown car. You need someone pushing, condensing them. Yeah.
Right. There's also, instead of a mechanical bull, it's a mechanical uncircumcised penis. So if you are circumcised, maxi, excuse me. I had that backwards. It's a circumcised penis, but it's hard, and we keep it hard. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Dennis Porter's timeline, scrolling in front of it, and it's going to keep this thing hard. So you can look it up. You can look up the mechanical cock at the nerd on Fremont Street. If you want to bring, you know, you want to bring your girlfriend, see if she can ride it. She'll be able to be exposed to some Dennis Porter tweets in the process. And my orange pillar might make her more bullish.
Make a baby boom right there.
I don't know how the...
Yeah, so that'll be fine.
I don't know how the science works on it, but for them to figure out how to not plug it in, but to keep it going and hard just by having scrolling Dennis Porter text in front of it, is really something special.
It's above my pay grade. It's amazing engineering work.
You're not going to want to miss that, let me tell you.
Yeah, if you've been a Bitcoiner long enough, you've already taken this ride. So you might as well do it in public.
Well, I do want to say I'm excited about the event. Like, I'm excited to spend time in person with all our listeners. It's one of my favorite things to do. I'm gonna. You should bring a pack of cigarettes. I'll sign your pack of cigarettes for you, and that'll be a pretty cool experience. But we'll have some merch that we'll be selling too. Bitcoin is freedom money. You should use it as freedom money. So we're going to give you the opportunity to. So you should come in with your Zeus wallet ready, with your channels already pre-balanced, not trying to fiddle it with it when you get there. Ready to roll.
Yeah, don't
ready
be to send me a
transaction.
Don't be the guy trying to connect to Tor and not be ready. We all hate that guy. All right.
Has PodConf approved this event yet, or have they caught wind of it, or is it kind of still on the underground? PodConf hasn't caught on yet.
Well, one of the four horsemen, David Bailey, he did retweet it and said it looked interesting. I don't know if that was an endorsement or a condemnation. Or
that's big news. There's been a rotation out of the four horsemen, right, at PodConf?
That's right. Corey was demoted along, and Peter McCormick has gone off to politics, so he's busy doing that, trying to get his soccer club. So there was an opening in PodConf. It promoted Jack Dorsey and Jack Mallers. So it's a double Jack promotion. That's a big one. I mean, it was announced through OpperTurn. So if we saw OpperTurn bot on Noster or X. So it's a big, dude. That's the problem. PodConf is re-energized. Rob has his hat right there, so Rob might be able to tell us some of the inner workings of how PodConf is functioning right now.
I'm just a tier one pleb, verified pleb, the real pleb movement. I'm not formally part of the PodConf organization. I'm just kind of recognized as...
I thought you were on the board.
Well, I'm on like the advisory board for the plebs. I'm not the one pulling the strings, though. I mean, you guys have also been hitting up the OpperTurn bot, right? Like, you guys have been... making your voice heard on the Bitcoin blockchain.
Yeah. We had it for put Lynn Alden is hot on there. We put the core devs should be allowed to have sex, which is an important thing we need to get into.
It's a controversial thing, apparently.
Yeah,
a lot of controversy around that.
That's one thing. I mean, not to toot my own horn, right? But that's one thing the Greeks got right, Like, if you're a Greek priest...
Toot your own horn? Yeah. The Greeks like to toot their own horn, don't they?
It's not just women.
Yeah, you can have sex with women.
Yeah.
And have a wife.
Yeah, some people think that the core dads, the maintainers, are like this clergy who's not allowed to have sex. And the Bugle is very much against that. But Richard Greaser was doing some investigation, and he got some insider sources that said that there's a lot of people in this debate right now that do not believe that the core devs can have sex.
I mean, that's kind of the hard work that Dick Greaser does, though, getting to the bottom of those things and kind of doing the work that other journalists just kind of whistle on by. And just like Mechanic says that this whole OpperTurn debate is like not a technical issue. He's right. It's not technical. It's about should the core devs be allowed to have sex? And I think you get lost in all the technical minutia when there's really just, foundational things that are about the culture and ethos of Bitcoin. Like, should core devs be allowed to have sex? And I stand in support that they should be able to.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's some nuance to it. All right. There's a lot of nuance here. It's like, how many pull requests have they submitted that week? Right. How many, what's the line diff on their code count?
Like, more like pull out requests.
But anyway, you can't just be reviewing code, not submitting anything, and expect to have sex. Right.
True. It's tough.
Okay, so yeah, but if they do, I mean, every month the Bugle puts out the top five power rankings for the core devs. And one of the stats that we include, and pretty much the only stat that we base these power rankings off, is the commits that they made over the prior month. And the maintainers are, most of them are, they at least have a dozen commits. Some of them, 100 commits. So they're keeping up the action. They aren't allowed to have sex. And it's, you know, it comes down to this anti-sexuality thing on one side of the debate. And it's like, they don't want JPEGs in their mempool. What if it's a hot JPEG? What if Lynn Alden or Sydney Sweeney are on one of those JPEGs? You're not going to let Lynn Alden and Sydney Sweeney into your pool, your mempool. I feel like that's bullshit. I feel like you would. And if you're going to let them in, don't you think you have to let all in? If you're going to claim to be not censoring, if you're going to claim to be a promoter of this open protocol, yeah, you have to let hot JPEGs in your mempool. You have to let them all.
This is part of it, though. You know, like, I think this is coming from, like, you know, Luke is a very diehard serious Catholic. And I think this is just kind of like going to that abstinence, like before marriage. Like, this is just kind of, people aren't realizing how it's impacting the rest of the Bitcoin development. And you got to just be aware of this stuff, right?
Well, this is one of the catch-22s, because Luke's family is three times as large as the people in this room. And so if there's anybody having sex, you know, see where I'm going?
Well, there's like 900 knots running, and I think that's just Luke's children.
That's exactly.
I think it's only exactly Luke's children that are running knots nodes. There's 900 knots nodes, and they're all Luke's children.
I think I just had a revelation. Sorry, it's the creatine revelation here. This crusade with the filter sort of lines up with the fake Pope's death. He feels empowered now.
This is we're in a time of rough consensus for Luke, where he agrees with all 1.3 billion Catholics that say to Vacant that the seat is empty. And it's probably uncomfortable for him right now, where he has a very consensus opinion. Everyone agrees there's no Pope at the moment, but Luke's been saying that for decades. And I think that's just like an uncomfortable spot that he's in. I think it's a really good point, Evan. Yeah.
Okay. While we're on the subject,
I think Luke's pretty based on that topic. I think the Pope's a shit coiner, kind of like Jameson Lopp. The same way that many of the Vatican filled
with pedophiles. But if you were to pick someone to replace the old fake pedophile Pope, who would you guys choose?
Luke?
Yeah?
The ultimate filter. Makes sense.
Yeah, any Catholic can become Pope.
How about Pomp?
Is Pomp Catholic? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. But Pomp, Pope.
Pomp, Pope. Pope,
the
Pomp.
Alliteration,
well, I think.
Good.
That's good.
I think that aliens may make contact with human beings during the next Pope's reign. And I think that we need a Pope who can deal with the aliens. And I don't know who could deal with, I mean, Pop loves aliens, but I feel like the aliens might relate better to Luke. I think that what if the aliens are autistic? Who are we going to have talk to them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, that's why he teamed up with Mechanic, isn't it?
Interesting.
Very possible.
So are we anywhere near getting settled with this whole opportune arguing, or is it just going to be the potential thing for a while going forward?
PodConf's taking this over now. Conferences are doing whole panels around it. Multiple podcasts have hit me up to try and go on to talk about it. I think PodConf's going to put another like 2-3 weeks of this at least into the drama.
Well, I saw that they're going to merge that this next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if anything, that's where the conspiracy should be focused on, is it has nothing to do with the Catholic Church or the Pope. I mean, you look at the proximity to the conferences, you've got BTC Plus happening. Is that this week or next week?
This week.
Yeah. So that's happening this week. You've got the Political Clarity Conference happening in Vegas.
Hmm.
So I'm so happy we're getting started.
So, I mean, it's interesting. So, like, Rob, you were tweeting that Bitcoin's not a democracy, right?
That's right.
But, like, all these people, they're getting all riled up. They're getting all riled up because of their nose getting raped. And they're going to the conference, and they're going to go listen to Mechanic argue with somebody. I don't know who the other person's going to be, but we all know Mechanic's going to be arguing at conferences. They're going to be going there. They're going to be listening to them argue about no rapage. And there's going to be a bunch of politicians speaking there, and so they're going to walk away from that thinking that Bitcoin is a democracy, because that's how the conference stage looks.
It's a good point. That's why the satirizing the system is so important to kind of bring things back to our roots, right? It's not a democracy.
Is it a republic? See, you basically vote for your favorite influencer, and they're the ones who tell you which node to run. So it's more like a republic.
No. You got to be an economic node, right?
Economic node, of course.
Exactly. So, you know, titans of industry like Rob and myself, we can vote.
Okay? Yeah, we get to vote.
What the hell is your node doing?
Yeah.
That's why if I use Coinbase, I'm electing their node to be my representative.
Have you ever used Coinbase for Lightning? Have those payments failed when you use Coinbase for Lightning?
I have not used Coinbase Lightning.
You're missing out.
I don't know that.
It is pretty impressive that Coinbase beat Swan to Lightning, though.
That's true. They did. And they're probably going to... I mean, you're going to be able to send USDT over the Lightning Network off of Coinbase now, because I don't think people are going to need banks or custodial wallets after that.
No, I actually...
What isn't Coinbase beating Swan at? They've got more users. They have Lightning. They're custodying Sailor's funds.
Podcasts.
I guess they have less Bitcoin.
Coinbase doesn't have a podcast. Mm-hmm.
And the shitcoins too, they're really holding them back.
Yeah, you can like coin a podcast on Coinbase, I think, with like the content coins. So maybe maybe that's how they get the podcasts.
Oh yeah, the content coins. That's right. Bring it in on the base. They're using their secondary layer called base.
This is why we need to lift the operational limit so we can inscribe Bitcoin podcasts directly on chain. And this is how, I mean, if you're using content coins on Base, like that's not sovereign. It's not sovereign inscription of content. You need to do this on layer one, Bitcoin, the God chain.
Yeah. And throughout time, you could just actually over the blocks, you could just kind of go back and like listen to your old podcast by just downloading a Bitcoin node.
Exactly. I mean, the first thing we should do is get Sailor series on chain so that anybody in the future, anybody in the world can listen to the Sailor series, because it's probably the most important Bitcoin content, audio content, I think, to date.
You know, I think it's a good point. And when you think about it, remember MicroStrategy last year was going to do a whole product line around inscriptions. I think Sailor realized that was the wrong call, but if it comes back as an operaturn, then MicroStrategy can do all of their digital identity stuff using operaturns.
Asymmetric compliance.
That's right.
I thought those were gigantic. I thought
you can go up to 1 meg for an operaturn.
Really?
Yeah. There's no consensus limit on operaturn.
Yeah. I guess if you want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It only would cost a million sats right now to fill an entire block with an operaturn.
Incredible.
Taylor's smart, man.
Yeah, think about it. He has 500,000 Bitcoin. He can fill blocks up until like the heat death of the universe, and just like with, you know, 1,000, he could do 100 per coin. That means that he could do millions of blocks.
Is he secretly at the charge of 40 hours per week?
He may be. It's very possible. I mean, is the Bugle, you guys came up with the 40 hours per week, or is that something that kind of spoke to you and you already saw it somewhere?
I think we just discovered it. I wouldn't say that we invented it.
It was not invented.
You know what I mean? Like, there's many of us. I mean, there's many of us that have been full-time podcast listeners, you know, for a long time now.
Yeah.
And we just put a description on it. You know what I mean? Turned it into a meme.
You discovered it. That's right.
Now, question on the
40 hours per week.
Evan, how many hours of Bitcoin podcast do you listen to?
Well, I really frown upon the people who listen to them sped up. I like to listen to them either, you know, 1x speed or 0.5x speed, because, you know, like I really want to
interesting
soak it in. So, you know,
based.
He's a cherry ice creatine kind of a guy.
Oh yeah, you got to put a couple of those back before you get fired up, you know? Maybe bring things down to
0.75, 0.8. Evan, do you get sufficient entropy in your Bitcoin podcast listening? Are you listening to OpTech? Are you listening to astrology podcast, Bitcoin podcast? Are you listening to privacy philosophy? Okay.
No astrology yet. I leave that to the wife. Okay. I love OpTech. Okay. You're doing some great stuff there. You know, a couple of Zeus users there, which is good. But, you know, really, I'm all about scratching the surface, finding the next big thing. And, you know, right now there's just so much talent. And, you know, as a man who doesn't want to juice, who wants to listen at 1x or slower, it's hard to find it all. You know, we need more people surfacing the brand new talent that's going to emerge. I feel like we're on the cusp of a boom. Bitcoin podcast. I feel like we're going to have to bump
podcast edging.
Yeah.
You're edging.
A Cambrian explosion of podcasts.
Yeah, Cambrian explosion.
This is one of the things.
Like we're going to have to bump 40 hours per week up to like maybe 45, 50 soon. Otherwise, you're going
to have to invest
in dust. Yeah.
Invest and have to invest in podcast equipment, making, you know, producing companies. Because, you know, if you subscribe to the, you know, I don't want to go where the gold is, I would go where the axe and shovel, pickaxes and shovels are. You're going to want to invest in podcast equipment companies.
Well, you got to do so cautiously too, because, you know, we have this new existential threat in terms of podcasts, and that's the tariffs. You got to think about where all this equipment is coming from. Yeah. Like, are we going to be able to scale up microphone and soundboard equipment production in the United States? And I'm just not sure we can.
Well, they bought
3D printers for that.
This is all a move, these tariffs, so that we can reclaim our control of our own podcast.
Well, the podcasting supply chain is under threat. We need to take it back into our own control.
Well, here's the thing. So Trump was talking this week about putting tariffs on films produced outside of Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. What if we apply podcasting 2.0 tariffs on shows that aren't produced in the United States? So I'm looking at you, Stefan Levera.
Oh,
I know what you're getting away with.
What
America's
Bitcoin...
not going to happen. Fucking put up with this
what Bitcoin did. Danny Knowles down under, triple the tax because he's upside down. That's right.
But yeah, I tell you right now, the Canadian Bitcoin podcasts do not need that, because they are Canadian Bitcoin podcasters struggling up there. They just lost their election to a central bank. And all their listeners are in the United States. And maybe we should make an exception for the Canadian Bitcoin podcasters.
We'll have to run it past David Bailey.
Yeah, David would know best. So, have you ever guys thought about like kind of like this MSTR and MSTY, where you can earn yield and stuff? That maybe there's like HPWY, where like you just earn a certain amount of yield when you start listening. When you hit that 40 hours per week, you start getting like a dividend of Bitcoin knowledge once you cross that threshold.
Like this. It's like an MNAV for signal.
Exactly. And as long as your entropy is good, you have to have your entropy spread out really well. But like, if you're listening to your hell money for your astrology, right? If you're going to listen to OpTech and you're going to listen to your macro content, like, and you kind of just get this, like, you know, podcasting dividend that just comes back to you full circle.
I found that the yield is, we're going to the same place. You go.
The yield is having a good marriage. The yield is being able to afford your taxes. Like, there's a benefit. It's not like you're listening to 40 HPW for no reason.
No.
You're listening to 40 HPW to be able to show up in your life, do your job as a man or as a woman. It equips you to be the person you want to be.
But listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts per week is how you get your HDL cholesterol above 100. There's a lot of people out there who are trying to raise their cholesterol. They're taking creatine. They're eating tallow. But they're leaving out the hard part, which is 40 hours per week. And that's the only way you're going to do it.
True.
Well said.
Yeah.
The real 40 HPW yield isn't friend coin. It's friend. That's what I've learned.
It's a friend. Yeah, it's the friends you make along the way. It's the group chats you form along the way.
I want to point out real quick. So Miss Hoddle liked this tweet. And I don't know if you saw that picture of Miss Hoddle
with the shotgun
this week. If there's a picture that encapsulates a woman who listens to 40 HPW, it's that picture.
Absolutely. Right, absolutely.
Take a seat, Fundamentals.
Whoa.
We've got a
come on through.
Fundamentals is here.
Yep. Hey. All right. Let's go next. Man, the only thing that knocked me off listening to 40 hours a week, New York Knicks.
Fundamentals was getting his 40 hours per weekend.
What's going on?
There he is. What'd you guys say? You were saying you were listening to your podcast before you came to the podcast.
Does that count doubly? Like, we didn't get to the bottom of it.
You shave your face.
If you record.
I take 2x credit for listening to my own podcast.
Okay. Okay. But what if I don't listen and I just record like right now? Like, is this counting towards my 40?
Yeah, 1x. Yeah.
1x.
Yeah. But what if the exact speed you like listening at?
Boy, Evan's talking. It's actually a little slower.
Yeah.
People are adjusting their speed.
Yeah. What's wrong with my player right now? It's supposed to be at 1x, but. Why is it coming out at 0.8?
Yeah, what's going on?
It's not enough creatine, honestly. I think I might. Hey, Brian, you want some? We got cherry ice.
I might need some, man.
We just cracked it.
I'm about to like murder myself from sitting in that traffic. It's like unreal.
It's brutal.
I get, you know, yeah. So you do your own podcast. That's 1x. Then you go back and listen to it. That's another x. Yep.
But the traffic helps you listen to more podcasts.
It definitely helps you listen in 1x.
The problem is listening to your own podcast is negative entropy. That's the problem.
You
need more entropy, so listening to your own is negative, yeah.
I was linking someone a clip from a podcast I was on, and I caught myself. I listened to like 20 minutes of myself talking, and I went to the Bugle guys and said, this is a problem, because I'm now like absorbing in like a circular feedback loop. And they prescribed to me an extra 10 hours to kind of offset the entropy. I had to kind of like overdose to try and like reduce the like feedback loop radiation.
Are we sure that we like entropy in podcasts?
Say more.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know Rod, look, Rod's got a good batting average. 40 hours per week, always gets credit for that. Comes up with some good bangers. I'm not sure. Well, so I know you're trying to get this entropy concept going. I'm not sure I like it.
Is it kind of like overtraining? Like you lift too much too fast, you end up hurting yourself? Like you have to kind of build a tolerance to get up high?
I mean, entropy is good for something you want to be, that you want to be random.
Yeah, like my Bitcoin keys.
Yeah.
But the problem with the entropy is that, you know, there's a lot of up-and-coming talent in the podcast circuit, but not all of them stay the course. You know what I mean? Like some of them are like, okay, I'm going to go get a job at Kinko's instead of Bitcoin.
I'm going to do a fish podcast.
Yeah. Like when you're putting out signal, you kind of don't want entropy. You want signal.
Listen. What is that term that Taleb talks about where it's like a small amount of disorder and like the small amount of poison, but actually makes you stronger, actually makes you anti-fragile. You need the entropy to confuse your muscles, to confuse the pathways in your mind.
Dude, you know how many guys actually killed themselves thinking they were just like getting accustomed to a poison?
You hear about this guy that got bit by 250 venomous snakes, and now his blood is used as like anti-venom? I kind of feel like that's me.
The universal anti-venom.
Yeah, he's like universal anti-venom now because he's been bitten by 250 snakes. And I kind of view that to my podcast consumption. I consume so much when people meet me, they get like concentrated like 2x time of 40 hours per week because I'm like doing a community service by helping them compress it all.
You're distilling it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I just feel like there was no debate. I think the entropy thing got foisted onto us.
Interesting. And the Bugle's starting to sell merch around it now. They're just trying to like push
it. It sounds good. It does sound good. And I kind of agreed with it when I first heard it. I'm like, yeah, sure, entropy.
When you first listen to the Bugle, it sounds like nonsense. It sounds like AI slop. It sounds like entropy. But the more you listen, the more order starts to be compressed, and you start to notice the patterns. When you get out into the edges of your Bitcoin podcast content comfort zone, it seems like chaos. It seems like entropy. But only until you push further out that you start to realize it's actually signal that your antenna just didn't have enough power to pick up originally. And that's really the point of entropy, is the way I see it.
I mean, you really described listening to fish too, just now.
Right. Exactly. It
sounds like nonsense.
When you first listen to fish, you're like, what's this? This is like hippie jazz. Like, what the fuck am I listening to? But you start to notice the patterns that you just weren't equipped to notice your first time through. That's why so many people, they are introduced to Bitcoin, they dismiss it because they just, it's too much entropy for them. They can't handle that much entropy. It's just too many numbers, too much hacks, too much craziness. But it starts to come together the more that you absorb it.
You guys are wild men. Pounding creatine back here.
Our producer's saying to take it easy on the creatine.
This is a wild green room.
Defecate ourselves. I mean, the bad part is we don't have a lot of air circulation in here.
Is that a risk of creatine, by the way?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It is? Is it? Oh,
yeah. But we're dedicated to the
show. I never heard that.
Yeah, it's
freaking good. Oh, yeah. Only if you have the stupid flavored stuff like Evan's got. So fundamentals, I got a couple questions for you. So you're going to be at the event, correct?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Do you have any plans to teach Evan how to do math?
Everything I'm building is to teach Evan math.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know fundamentals, Fundamentals not only does he listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast per week, he also produces 80 or 40 hours per week, I guess, when you do the back-to-back. But then he also does 40 hours of math homework per week. So tell him a little bit about 40 hours of math homework, because math homework doesn't end in college. It doesn't end in high school. It extends to your podcast career. Now, at least now it does. Thank you. Thanks to Fundamentals. So tell them about that, Fundamentals.
Evan, get your notepad out for this answer, Evan.
Well, it's interesting because Evan is a very technical person. I'm standing with very technical people. You know, Evan and Rob are extremely technical. But, you know, the math never ends. The math isn't about executing Lightning, you know.
Obviously.
Or, you know, getting Lloyds of London to approve your products.
They made me promise definitely I wouldn't talk insurance if I came on the show.
But like, I mean, you know, at the core of it, math, first of all, math isn't what people think. People think math is like crunching numbers, you know, the kind of thing like accountants are good at. And that's just untrue. Math is really, it's how you gain conviction in yourself, your own reasoning. And it may not even be computation. This is the least funny part of this whole thing, I'm assuming, right?
For you, math is like reading Atlas Shrugged is for me.
It's part, yeah. And it's, you know, it is like reading Atlas Shrugged in a certain way. And then there's this discovery process where, you know, you really are trying to unlock the secrets of the universe. You don't really know why you're learning math. You just know that you're going to discover something like awesome. You're like, you know, sailing across the Atlantic Ocean, not knowing when you're going to hit land. And you do it for years and years and years. Every day you grind it out. And then one day you hit land, you discover something unbelievable. And then you get back to work again. Wasn't that fun?
One thing that Bitcoin influencers and podcasters don't do is they don't pat themselves on the back enough. Do you think that mathematicians, when they discover something new, they should be more back patting?
They should, but they're like, they're so beaten down that they don't think to do it. You know, typically, culturally, the mathematicians that pat themselves on the back are frauds, you know? They're just trying to take credit for something somebody else did. There's a lot of good videos on Leibniz and Newton and the discovery of calculus. And like, they really did do it at the same time, but then they did nothing but fight about like who should get the credit.
It was all Newton.
Like, Newton had the London Society of like London. Newton had like the entire government of London, like, issue a proclamation that he discovered calculus.
Status.
Yeah.
He created a trial and actually had Leibniz come to England to be on trial even though Leibniz didn't care, and it was quote unquote proven through court that that Newton came up with it first.
Yes, proven.
So he was like,
Newton was chaining out to prove it.
He was like the OG Craig Wright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically.
I mean, he at least Newton did discuss. You know, Newton did accomplish these things. It's just that he didn't do it. He wasn't the only one. You know, Leibniz was there. It's not like, yeah, it's a bad analogy. Sorry. Craig Wright didn't do anything, but basically find people who were productive and sue them.
Are we sure?
I love when questions start like that.
Are we sure?
Are we sure what? That Craig Wright?
Craig Wright didn't also discover Bitcoin?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I think
we're
the debate,
sure.
The
yeah,
debate
we're
on
totally
that settled.
Sure.
I know we're sure.
You know
we
who
all
wasn't
know.
Sure? Gavin wasn't sure. Gavin got tricked. He wasn't sure, and that's why they took his keys away.
I saw Craig Wright was calling Janice Lobachek.
We all know.
And I'm happy we're all in agreement on that.
Well, we all know Peter Todd is Satoshi.
Oh, I knew. Yeah, that's for sure.
Do you think that Satoshi
that's
has
true.
Sex? I was listening to this in traffic, by the way. This is, proves that I was listening.
You were
this.
Listening. Yeah, core devs yeah. should be able to have sex.
But did Satoshi have sex while he was working on Bitcoin?
There's a few times where he codes at like 1 a.m. That's probably like a cool down, a sex cool down.
It's like his cigarette, yeah.
Yeah.
His after sex cigarette was his like coding C++.
Or foreplay to wind up.
Did he fuck?
Ooh.
This guy fucks.
That's a shirt, guys. Yeah. Satoshi fucks. Fucks.
I mean, it would be interesting if he had, that's... if he actually had a child while he was making big, like he put a baby in somebody. While he was
he came up with Opcat after going down on a woman that he met
because
at the bar.
That baby would be like 15 years old now and be ready to come and claim that they're the child of Satoshi. Like Satoshi was banging somebody.
15? Could be Ben Carmen. Could be Ben Carmen.
Satoshi's my dad.
15 years old?
What if Satoshi's child turns 18 and the 1 million Bitcoin unlocks and goes to him.
Well, be pretty sick.
So coin join Chris in the chat makes a good point. Satoshi fucked the banking system. It's true.
Ooh,
yeah, but that point. Didn't he didn't blow a
load.
That's it's a you know, I don't know.
That's a good point. Maybe he didn't complete. He never spent the coin, so who knows? Yeah.
That's another shirt.
Is CoinJoin Chris going to come to satirize the system? We could maybe have CoinJoin Chris take on all the non-standard sized wrestlers.
Well,
it'd be like, you know, that would
well.
Be a cool.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to CoinJoin the wrestlers into a full-fledged wrestler.
That's right.
Like Voltron?
Are the ceilings high enough, Jeremy, for CoinJoin Chris to fit in the venue?
Yeah, I'm starting if to think of it as maybe like an obstacle that they can like jump off of rather than, you know, an opponent or something like that.
Yeah.
It's one more layer of ring for them to be able to do things with.
And then the seed hammers could be a good wrestling prop too.
Ooh,
you don't want to get hit by that thing. It's heavy.
Would it have been bad for the Bitcoin project?
We could have coin join Chris.
Satoshi was banging an Uggo.
Uggo?
Yes.
Oh.
An ugly one.
An ugly girl?
Would it have been bad for the project?
Or ugly man?
I mean, and, you know, maybe the CIA took care of her. Because they wanted Bitcoin to succeed.
What if it came out that Satoshi had sex with Janet Yellen?
Yeah.
That's why she's so
yes.
mad.
That's why she's so mad. Scorned lovers.
That's why she,
and
yeah.
She broke his
mushrooms, you know.
In China,
Satoshi like screwed her up for life. Like she never recovered from it.
CoinJoin Chris says he can make himself fit into 80 bytes, no problem. He'll be standard.
There aren't enough podcasts talking about Satoshi having sex.
It's true.
We could all agree on that, right?
Yeah. I heard that there's like a dating Bitcoin or dating podcast now. I haven't listened to it yet. Was it one of the Bugle guys? Were you guys linking me yet?
Because we know he...
Internet. Sure. Oh, no. Yeah, we're frozen.
God damn.
Sorry, it was my subject matter.
You came back. Yeah, you guys were frozen for a second.
You know what? We were talking about some non-PodConf approved content.
It was pretty deep alpha.
They pulled the plug on us. Let's stay within the lanes, you know?
Yeah. We're getting censored here. We're being filtered. We were talking about there's a Bitcoin dating podcast, right? You guys looked this up.
So let's talk about the event. Let's talk about the event again. So we have some new listeners jump in the chat. Guys, we're doing an event in Vegas. It's going to be the best thing ever. We all know you're bored. We all know you're bored of the same stuff. You've heard the same speakers say the same things. Like, how many times do you want to hear Jeff Booth talk about macro, say the same thing? You already heard him say what he said on his podcast. You want something different. You want to come to Vegas.
You need some entropy.
Yeah, you need some entropy, which is why you should go to Satirize the System, Vegas, Wednesday night at the Nerd. Buy a ticket on the link below the stream that I posted there and have a good time. You'll be able to hang out with us. If any of you want to start a Bitcoin podcast, you can ask me questions in person. I'll advise you. I'll show you how to run a live stream off a typewriter.
Dude,
you're not excited about that.
I mean, listen, developers aren't the only ones not having sex. So there's a lot of people showing up to this conference that might be showing up alone to events. And I think we're throwing the best event to do that at. There's only so many times you can walk into a room and there's nothing to do except for talk to people and go up to somebody and say, so what about op return? Only so many times you can do that. At our place, you can go play a video game for a little bit.
It's going to be really good for the orange cells.
That's right. You can go impress everybody with your you know, mechanical penis riding skills.
Is there a game where you resist getting hard from looking at Dennis? It's like, how long can you go?
Well, yeah, there's a mechanical penis that's kind of, it's kept hard by Dennis Porter's tweets. It's going to be scrolling on the timeline, so you could pop a boner while you're riding a boner.
It's like, make
I
me
will
laugh.
Not be make participating me laugh. In that game.
Make me hard.
Two games at once. There's a camera set up, so when you get off the ride, it zooms in and takes a picture, and whoever is most flaccid wins, is I think what we're going for.
It sounds like the worth the price of admission alone.
That's what would be your strategy for staying soft in the presence of a picture of Dennis?
Baseball, 100%. Think about the Mets. How about
but
those
we're
Mets?
Good right now. That's, baseball doesn't work because we're too good. The Mets are like the best team in baseball right now.
Yeah, that is true.
I what about that Pope? Just focus. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? That might get me through.
Who's your pick for Pope?
Well, this is an interesting point.
I'm Jewish. I don't get a pick.
Do you, though? I think you might, actually.
I mean, I'm sure there are Jews making an argument for why we do. But, you know, I try to respect the boundaries there, you know?
Okay, well.
If you want to go to the Christmas
party. Well, this is an interesting point that you guys brought up about Dennis.
I want to go to the Christmas party.
Dennis has not been allowed at the Bitcoin conference for like 3 years in a row. Dennis is not allowed at the conference. I think part of the reason why is because David Bailey really wants women to show up, really wants crypto finally to feel comfortable there and not get pictures of her butt taken. And if Dennis is walking around and all the dudes are hard, it's really just not a very, you know, friendly place for the ladies. It's a problem.
It's to de-randify the event then.
Evan, how long do you think you could withstand? How long do you think you could withstand getting hard looking at a Dennis Porter Polish tweet, breaking tweet?
At least 30 seconds.
My lawyers advised me not to answer that question. We talked about it the same.
Full disclosure, I'm not.
You know how people go to.
Did people think that?
You know. They go
just
to,
because you're Jewish?
They go to London and they
it's
try.
It's a reasonable thing to do.
Well.
People go to London and they try to make the the guard, the castle guard. They try to make him laugh. They try to make him break character. Dennis Porter walks by, and they all have to turn around because their pants get tighter, and they get boners as he walks by. And that's why he's also not allowed in the UK.
The last time that Dennis went on What Bitcoin Did, it was a disaster.
What do you mean? Tight pants?
Well, he had to travel there, you know, and it was very problematic for all these British people with very sensitive feelings.
They didn't know why they were experiencing the feelings they were. They weren't ready for, they just weren't ready for Dennis.
I was
Dennis comes walking down the street. You've never seen him before. You just feel the bullish energy. All of a sudden, you start getting erect. You know, it's probably a similar experience as somebody dropping a Viagra in your drink at the bar without your consent.
It's a mental roofie.
You probably assume that's what happened.
A British guy I know described Brits as there's this extreme anxiety about social situations and everything needing to be right and needing to be going on well. And so what they do in their minds is the exact opposite. They start thinking about, what if I just like slap that drink out of that person's hand? And this is their inner demons that they fight against. So this is really lining up.
The intrusive thoughts. They're exactly. letting them win constantly.
He's just walking through the room. Immediately, the amount of like thoughts that are going through these people's heads as far as what they think is the worst case scenario. I don't even want to know.
Oh, because it's so hard just to live. And then you have Dennis come in and make everybody hard. And they're like, they just can't hold it together anymore. They're already holding it together on a thread.
Yeah. That's why Americans have.
Did you see Dennis's take on the Opportune drama?
No, please tell me. This is what I am failing. I should have gone there first. This is a major failure in my OP return research. Please fill me in.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was really interesting. So he claimed to have been the deciding factor of the block size war when he chose the small blocks.
Mm-hmm. Ironic.
And he didn't necessarily flag a side. On this one, but he did. Go ahead.
Yeah, he said, consider yourself lucky to witness some of the most brilliant people in the world debate changes to the most important monetary network in history. Mm. So, you know, Dennis said, is saying, like, consider yourself lucky to see, you know, all the knots, groupies, you know, to see Peter Todd, Shinobi calling people retarded. Like, don't think of this as drama that you want to avoid. Consider yourself lucky to see these debates happening in real time, because they're going to write a book about it, the Opportune Wars, in a couple of years. And all the noobs are going to come in. They're going to be reading that. They're going to be listening to it narrated by Guy Swan, or like AI Guy Swan at that point. And they're going to look back at our tweets and they're going to wish they were here and they were a part of this.
You're right. I really resonate with that. Just take a step back and take it all in. Like seeing a beautiful mountaintop after the clouds part, or the birth of a child. Just take a step back right now and watch Shinobi yell at people and just realize.
Have you guys been doing, I need two microphones. Have you guys been doing transactions right now? Because 20 minutes ago, 2,300 coins from the Silk Road just moved. They had been dormant for 12 years. There's Is that reason. You guys at the Bugle?
There's a reason why I started this 15 minutes late.
It was Ross. It was Ross buying tickets to satirize the system.
Yo, what's the capacity on the nerd? You guys are about to fill that bitch up.
There was a super secret VIP pass that was exactly 2,003 coins.
Yeah. Awesome.
It was 24/7 access to the mechanical wiener. Oh, yeah. That's just- Yeah.
All right, guys, we got to get rolling soon for Bit Devs. But Jeremy gave me reminded me of a question I wanted to ask as he was talking about mountaintops, right? Okay.
That's Dennis, not me. That's Dennis.
He was quoting DP. What, or rather, who is on your Bitcoin podcasting Mount Rushmore?
Just like you're smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, I'm had to pull one in right there. Junseth.
Oh, yes.
Peter McCormick. I'm trying to think, how do you round out that for the four faces? And, you know, try not to be too flattering and just say Dick and Rod right there is just like the final two.
Maybe they split one.
Maybe, yeah.
But you can't put their faces on there, can you?
Maybe you can.
You can get creative with it.
I mean, Rod's face doxed himself, so he's pretty open about that. He was posting his body for the Bitcoin Beach Bod calendar that they're putting together.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, at least those two for sure.
That's why every mountain is a Mount Rushmore.
Doesn't have to be a podcast, or can it be a recurring guest? Because I would put Lynn Alden on there if you can pick the guest.
Lynn Alden,
like an interview.
Macro, yeah, culture. You got politics with Peter. Lynn Alden. It's a tough one to round up for the fourth. Anyone?
I'm unqualified.
I would put Dennis Porter.
Dennis Porter. Yeah.
I'd put Lynn Alden. I put True Heather. I don't know if you guys knew this, but True Heather is doing a Bitcoin dating podcast.
Yes.
Teaching all the orange shells how to date. It's pretty wild.
I haven't listened
to it. Pretty important work right there.
I'm actually pretty entropy deficient on
that. I listen.
Cut out.
I don't like
this. I listen to the Sly Goomba episode.
Why not? What's wrong with the question?
Their status. It's like, let's carve a bunch of presidents' faces into a mountain.
The state doesn't have to do it. We could do it voluntarily, you know?
I understand.
Think about how many podcasts you can listen to while you're carving out
Bracky.
The Bitcoin podcast, Mount Rushmore.
We can have, yeah, we can have Bracky chisel,
we don't need to
chisel
steal
in
to
a mountain for us.
Yeah, Bracky would do it. Oh, man.
We need our own thing, you know? They're like this.
Yeah, so when you Mount Rushmore, that's our own thing.
Okay, orange. Up Rushmore. We're being told to stop.
We probably should. Yeah.
Well, it's good timing. Well, yeah, everybody listening.
Maybe the organizer of this meetup shouldn't be in a different continent right now.
Yeah, right? I got invited to come and was told, by the way, I'm not going to be here.
But yes, I think we should respect the meetup. That is what you guys are here for.
That's all right. We got to
come. Welcome to Satirize.
I wouldn't worry. You're in safe hands.
We're gonna crush it. We're just gonna talk about Opera Turn for 2 hours and then call it a night.
Come to Satirize the System. Go. It's Wednesday, May 28th at the Nerd on Fremont Street, 7 to 11 p.m. Non-standard size wrestling panels, fireside. Evan from Z-Swall will be there. Rob Hamilton will be there. Not KYC video games. VIP smoking balcony. Everything.
Sick.
Buy tickets for trivia. Free samurai.
No, non-KYC cigarettes. Bring them in.
Do we mention the 21?
Don't come until... Yeah.
There's a rumor that there's going to be a special guest showing up at the event.
Rumor has it.
Kaylee?
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, guys. And, you know, Evan, I'm a big fan. I use Zeus Lightning or Zeus Wallet on a daily basis, and the graphics are unreal. It just, all the other Lightning wallets out there that don't have the cool graphics, Blue Wallet, Wallet of Satoshi,
Phoenix,
Zap. You know, Matt Mallers thinks he's a super genius for having coded Zap in a night or whatever he says. No cool graphics whatsoever. What a loser.
No graphics. And, you know, by the end of 2025, maybe you'll get some transactions working too. Or, hear me out, BugleNet support. Then we'll be cooking with gas.
I get most of my transactions to work. And when they don't, there's cool graphics, so I'm entertained.
Oh my God, he admits it. Yeah. It works most of the time. All right, let's end on that note. I'm fucking get out of here. Thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks everyone watching.
Thanks for tuning in to this special edition. Maybe we'll do it again.
Wednesday,
buy tickets. Have sex.
Buy tickets to the event. Buy tickets.
Have sex.